Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I can remember exactly where I was on the road to North Louisiana dealing with a family emergency when I heard him say, "See you later, bye." It was on Highway 190 getting ready to turn toward I-49. Mike Haas joins us now, voice of the Saints. How you doing, Mike?
Hello, Tommy. How are you, my friend?
I got to thank you because I got a little family emergency I had to deal with on Sunday, and I was driving up, and there's nothing worse than having something to do with your kid, and you got a four-hour drive ahead of you, right? But you and Deuce and Geller and Christian and Bobby and Mike DeTilia, y'all kept me sane, and I can't thank you enough for that. I mean that sincerely.
Well, that's very kind.
It's true, and I think you did a great job with the game. See you later, bye. Tell me what most impressed you about the game and first off, I haven't watched it yet, but I feel as though I have just by listening to you calling it, you and Deuce and Steve. But tell me what most impressed you about Sunday, Mike.
I guess to me it was the way the defense, you know, it was the trenches, you know, and Deuce had said that before the game. Said, look, this is simple. This Saints team has to win the battles on the defensive line and offensive line. And you know, when you score 38 points, the immediate focus is on offense. But that defense, and really, there are so many things that never show up in stats, and that the pressure on Aaron, forcing him out of the pocket, making him throw weirdly, it doesn't show up as anything. And so, but the defensive ends and really just getting him out of rhythm so early on, to me, and we haven't really talked about it because it was 38-3, like, when the Packers went for it on their first series, I think it was fourth and two with a 34 or something like that. I'm like, it's 3-0. You know, you're pushing your chips all in now. I'm like, you know, it didn't, you know, turn out to mean a whole lot, but I was just like, hmm.
No, and it does say a lot, I think, about what's going through the coach's mind, right?
I guess, but it's the Saints had one drive, 4 minutes, got a field goal. I was just like, you know, it's, you know, these games had typically been shootouts, but I think you have to almost take all of the last 15 years and go, well, okay, well, these games are typically shootouts. We had Drew Brees, the quarterback. We didn't know. And now you can certainly kind of make those stats make sense because you've got, it's a system, certainly with Sean, and Jameis ran it perfectly, did all the right things. And so, but I feel like it was the defense early on that kind of set the tone, and then, quite frankly, Aaron never touched it again. They had, like, you know, 12 plays in the first half. It was only 17-3. And I don't think you'll ever be able to equate the Paulson Adebo turnover because of what it did. First off, the Packers got the ball and just ran the clock. So they run off 5.5 minutes of clock, get down inside the 10, first and goal. Then they throw a pick that ends up coming back to the 40. So now you flip the field. They burned 5.5 more minutes of clock. It's like the perfect scenario. But, think of how that game could have changed if the Packers score there. Now it's 17-10. Mm-hmm. Now it's different, right? And it just feels different. But they didn't. Huge play by Paulson. Huge play by Marcus Williams.
That's what I wanted to talk to you about, Paulson and Debo. And, again, I've not watched the game. I recorded it. I'm going to watch it today. But he really stepped up and surprised, didn't he?
Yeah. I think, you know – but he's got what, and I never want to compare players, but he's got what Marshawn Lattimore had when he came here, which is like, go ahead, bring it, throw it at me. Come on, I don't care, bring it. He's got that swagger, like, you know, that as a DB you either have or you don't. And if you don't,
you
guess
better
what?
Have it.
You better not be,
exactly.
You better not be a DB because you got to be not afraid to get beat, right?
Yep,
and
you
so
have
he's
a short
got
memory.
That. You're right, he's got that kind of, you know, because when at Baltimore, Baltimore went after him like 5 out of 6 straight plays, and he was like, yeah, I love it, bring it. And so, you know, and then you got Desmond Trufant on the other side. He's like, Desmond, meet your team. You've known him 5 days. Here you go. Go play football. And so, and then with Marshawn coming back with the injured hand. But, yeah, I think Paulson, you know, when I look at all this team, Juwan Johnson and Deontay, who's been around, you know, but and Jameis and nobody, Marquez Callaway, nobody, it was not too big a moment for them. And that was the most impressive thing. The moment wasn't too big.
Yeah, Jameis Winston, 14 of 20, 148 yards, not, you know, 5,000 yards or anything like that, or 500 in a day, but a quarterback rating of 130.8 compared to Aaron Rodgers, 36.8. He seemed to not, from what I heard, and again, I'm not seeing it, Mike, but he didn't take it upon his shoulders to win the game, just execute the game plan. Would that be accurate?
Right. That's 100% accurate. I mean, I always have said that, you know, if I were hypothetically on the staff, and when Jameis came in, I'd sit him down and go, I want you to watch 5 games. It's when Drew got hurt in 2019, and Teddy Bridgewater came in for 5 games, and you won all 5. And he didn't. His numbers were not extraordinary. The defense played great, but he didn't do anything spectacular. He just ran the offense, and that's what Jameis has never had in Tampa. That everyone just said they always went go in the game, you know. And so, right? I mean, and I thought also think what was important about Jameis early on were those 2 runs. Now they weren't third down runs; they were second down runs. But he picked up 37 yards with his leg. So now the linebackers, for the first time in many years covering this Saints football team, have to stay in coverage. They have to go, wait, do I go up to him? Is he going to run? Do I stay in coverage? They have to make a decision. They haven't had to make that decision in a while. So the ability of him to be mobile and elusive and run the ball when needed, I think really kind of got the Packers back on their heels, which opened up everything else.
And no disrespect to Drew at all, but the long ball's back in play as well.
Exactly. They had not had, I think, a pass of 55 plus. They had a play of a run or a pass of 50 yards last year. Did not. And so it took 1 game, 55 to Deontay. And he's another one. So he's a guy that we've always seen him as a gimmick, wide out screen, whatever, punt returner, kick returner. But he, in camp, proved day in and day out he's a wide receiver. But we saw that. But the question was, well, can that translate to the game? Juwan Johnson, we would see it every day, and I'm like, well, okay, but will that translate to the game? And it did. And so that's where those unanswered questions that we just didn't know were answered. And so, you know, you still had Alvin Kamara doing a great job, Tony Jones Jr. doing a great job. I'm not sure what you would change if you were going to say, okay, do something different. Maybe Adam Troutman catching a pass or two. Other than that, you know, not much.
But I heard you say during the broadcast, I think it was a great point, about 8 different receivers having passes, not just targeted, but receptions. And you said, I think, where have we seen that before, right?
Right. That's the system. Now, Taysom was one of them. But it was, so Taysom and Jameis combined had hit for like 8 receivers or 7 receivers in the first half. And I was like, that's what you do. That's how that's how this offense runs. So but it's this offense – you know, with a nuance where you can move Jameis around a little bit and he can run and that makes the defense sit back. And so it's 1 game. I mean, believe me, if this had been 38-3 the other way, we'd be going, hey, look, it's 1 game. We got a long way to go. And it is, you know. But what I saw defensively up front where it matters and offensively up front, and that was with losing, you know, Eric McCoy, you know, early on in the first quarter, was enormously impressive. And this defense has never, even though the defense has been in the top 10 for the last 3 or 4 years in a ton of categories, they've never gotten kind of the accolades or the respect they probably deserve.
Sean Payton close to the vest with the injuries, as he should be, and there's no advantage to be gained by giving out any more information than you need to. But do we know anything more about Eric McCoy or Marshawn Lattimore? And I think Devontae got nicked up too, didn't he?
Yeah. I think, you know, if you just go by reports, I mean, the Saints aren't you're right, you know, Mickey and or Sean, they're not going to, it doesn't behoove them or benefit them. I think, you know, Marshawn had the surgery, chip bone, he'll be week to week, which means he'll probably miss a couple.
I missed that part with the emergency. I'm sorry. So what happened with him?
Yeah, he had a, I think, again, I'm going based on reports. This is not confirmed by the Saints, so don't, you know. But that he had some type of chip bone in his left hand and did require surgery, not necessarily major surgery, and that he was going to be week to week. That typically means, you know, you're going to miss a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And Marcus Davenport had a tricep. I'm trying to think of the actual injury. I mean, it could have been a far worse injury. Sometimes it's a season injury, but his was not. So it was kind of better news. And I've not heard much on McCoy other than initially what was described as a lower leg injury, calf injury. That could, you know, be a lot of things. So it's hard to tell. I don't read into anything that I just said other than what I'm reading, what everybody else is reading. Mm-hmm. And then they're dealing with the COVID situation, which, again, we don't know. We know what we read, assistant coaches and one player who was on IR. So, you know, that should not be a huge impact because of what they've been through. They've already done Zoom. They're going to practice as normal. They've already done the Zoom with coaches before. So it's, you know, some of the stuff's already in place. They just have more enhanced protocols to go through.
One thing I found interesting when you and Deuce were talking about the Ida thing was that maybe it kind of helped them focus on nothing but football, and also the way the Saints handled that in terms of taking care of everybody's family, right?
Yeah, they've done this before. I mean, Sean has said it before. I mean, they did it in 2017 when they went to London. They kept the team together and traveled together. They did it in 2019. They had to go out west where they stayed together. And that they didn't really have normal training camps like you and I remember. They're different. The players, you know, are not locked up in a hotel. But these trips, they are together. And you live and sleep and eat and practice together 24/7. And so Sean has always said that they come in with a more keener focus, tighter, because they've done nothing but football. And they've got the team has made all the right moves to have their families with them as much as possible, as well as in Jacksonville as well. And so the team has done everything they could to keep families there, yet keep the team together. So, you know, and Sean loves that. You know, he's got their full attention. There's no of life's distractions. But, you know, that being said, that's a tall challenge. Right. I mean, we're talking, what are we, week three of being kind of away from, you know, they haven't been in their homes. They don't know what's going on. So it's tough. But for right now, it's working. And Sean's he's a routine oriented guy. And he wants to keep that routine as similar as possible week to week. And so the fact that they're on the road again this week and on the road again next week, it just kind of plays into that mantra of routine of do this on this day, this on this day.
Before we get ahead to next week, one thing that looking at the stats, it kind of snuck up on me. I didn't realize Alvin Kamara had 83 yards rushing, and the Saints rushed the ball total for 171 yards. Maybe I had other things on my mind, but I guess I was so concentrated on Jameis and of course, once you can rush the ball, it makes it easier to throw it. But the Saints, obviously the line did their job in opening some holes and getting some yards on the ground.
Yeah, I thought it was great play calling, and it was basically the first half. I mean, I'm not looking at the game book in front of me, but, you know, I don't think I've ever seen a first half where an offense, who, by the way, got the ball first, so they had the first possession, had three drives. Three, mm-hmm. Right? And so nine plays, 15 plays, 15 plays. That's where those rushing yards were. You know, 4 yards, 5 yards, and they picked up crucial first downs and a crucial fourth down to Juwan Johnson. And so that's where all those kind of yards, I mean, I don't know the breakdown, but a lot of those yards and just kept, when you start running 10-minute drives and 15-play drives and 8-minute, I mean, that's a lot of that is running. And so they did a great job of just kind of getting those guys out into space, getting Alvin out into space on the edge. And so, man, that's right. It was kind of a a sneaky 170 plus, right? I mean, we go, wait, I don't remember anybody. And I bet you Alvin's longest run might have been 18-20, something like that. I mean, there was no real long run, but, you know, 5-6 yards a pop adds up.
So what about Carolina? Thoughts on the game coming up? I know you've been scouting them.
I've been to the Jets game once, and I'll go through it a couple of times, and I'm looking at different things. I will say their defense – now, granted, their defense is going up against a rookie quarterback in Wilson, Zach Wilson, and they came at him hard. They were coming at him off the corners. They were coming at him stunting in the middle. And you could see their game plan was to disrupt Zach Wilson, and they did a really good job. They got some athletes on the edge, some athletes in the secondary. And so I was like, you know, I was impressed with their defense, and their offense is Christian McCaffrey. I mean, they don't even hide it. They're like, here's what we're going to do. We're going to hand the ball off to him, and then we're going to throw a screen to him, and then we're going to do a dump-off pass to Christian McCaffrey. I think he had, I don't know, 20-some catches. I mean, you know, touches of the ball. I mean, he's their offense. Now, guess what? He's also enormously good. He's fast. He's impossible to tackle. But they didn't, you know, DJ Moore, wideout, Terrence Marshall, wideout. They have other players, you know, but I was – you know, they don't hide it. Like, you got to stop Christian McCaffrey if you're going to stop us. And I thought Sam Darnold did a pretty good job. Moves around in the pocket more than I expected. Has some really good pump fakes. I mean, hard pump fakes. One time did it twice before he unloaded it. So he's got some maneuverability in the pocket that'll be challenging. But, if the Saints can keep doing what they're doing, and they're not doing it, you know, most of the time the Panthers would send – they would show six but send five. And so if the Saints can do it with four, that puts another guy back in coverage. And so that's therein lies the key. If you can get the pressure on Darnold with four, he's got fewer targets that are open to throw to without having to rush five or, you know, blitz and go six. So we'll see. I was, if you can say, impressed by a team that was terrible on third down, as the Panthers were, not real good in the red zone. And so, but yet I thought they – what they did with McCaffrey and Darnold was pretty impressive.
But a game book will tell you a lot when you look at it, and I'm looking at the 39 rushes, 21 passes. You do that, you're going to win 99% of the time, I think, if you can do that and you have the luxury of doing it. Let me ask you real quick personally. Mike, you and I know each other a long time. It sounds like you're just having a blast and a time of your life. Is it now with the calling the game? Are you comfortable?
Yeah, I'm not. I listen to it, and it's like fingernails on a blackboard to me. So I know.
It's always like that. Nobody ever likes to watch themselves or listen to themselves. You know that.
I do. I know where I have to work. Let's put it that way. So I know where the work has to go. But that's when we get going and it's me and Deuce, it is a blast. I mean, he brings me down to earth. And so we have a blast, and I can't wait for Carolina and just more attempts to get better.
I can't tell you how much I enjoyed it. And just, you know, you're a real person calling a game like a fan, but yet you tell us what's going on. And I think you do a tremendous job. I think you and Deuce got some chemistry, and Geller jumping in from the sidelines. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And again, thank you for keeping me sane on the way up to North Louisiana.
Good luck, my friend. Hope all is well with the family, and we'll talk soon.
Yeah, everything's great. Thank you, Mike. Everything's real good. All right, we can take a quick break. We come back, we'll get an update from Matthew Jewell about St. Charles Parish. I think that's who we'll talk to. Back in a flash, WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.